This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. Just days away from Election Day, but early voting is off to a huge start, and not just in California. But first, just minutes away from the first pitch in Game 3 of the World Series between the Dodgers and the Yankees in New York. Dodgers hoping to take a commanding 3-0 lead in the best-of-7 series. Shohei Ohtani in the starting lineup tonight after a scary injury in the Dodgers Game 2 win. Here's Dave Roberts speaking about that earlier this afternoon.
He was very adamant that he was going to play. I watched him take swings last night in the cage. Looked really good, strong, ball was coming off the bat. So I think that there was more uncertainty in all of our minds, but in his mind from day one, from Saturday evening, he was going to play.
Ohtani apparently texted his teammates Saturday night after the game, telling them he would be good to play in Game 3. Should be noted, his left arm was in a sling when he was introduced along with the rest of the starting lineup tonight. Now, if the Dodgers win, they would go up 3-0. Team has only overcome that deficit in a best-of-7 playoff series once in Major League Baseball history. That was when the 2004 Boston Red Sox shocked the Yankees in the American League Championship Series. And people all over the city getting ready to watch the game. Pete Demetrio's at a bar in Westwood. He joins us live.
Last 15 minutes, people are now sliding to seats in Rocco's, and they're sitting on the edge of their seats speculating on what's going to happen in Game 2. Jason thinks the Dodgers go up 3-0, while Michael wasn't taking anything for granted. Game 2, it's different from L.A., it's New York.
I mean, it's a crazy atmosphere. It's a away, you know, it's a away atmosphere. You know, New York is crazy, the diehard Yankees fans out there in the Bronx. But, you know, if Walker Buehler gets to do his thing today, we could win today.
You got to give the benefit of the doubt to the Yankees as well. They are a hard-fighting team. They made it to the World Series as well, so they got through some pretty good competition as well. But I think that the Dodgers do have a fair advantage. I feel like they have the better players in Ohtani, Mookie Betts, etc., Freeman as well.
Now, fans from both sides here saying they know the bullpens are solid. It comes down to if the bats are hot or not as to who wins this game.
Investigators say that a man has admitted to setting a Temple City house on fire, killing three of his roommates and badly injuring two others. John Baird was on the scene all morning. He's got the story.
The suspect actually approached detectives outside the home where the fire had been raging, and he tried to communicate that, yes, he did it. Homicide Lieutenant Hugo Reynaga.
While deputies were containing the crime scene, the suspect approached one of the deputies and kind of with hand gestures indicated that he was the one that lit the fire.
The lieutenant said they then got a Mandarin translator on the phone and were able to confirm that the suspect was, in fact, the person responsible for setting the fire.
It's always surprising when a suspect comes out the day of the incident and admits to committing the horrible crime, right? But we're thankful that he did contact our deputies in the field and let them know that he was responsible for it.
The 64-year-old suspect is now in the county jail. Lieutenant Reynaga says the reason given for setting the fire was an argument over some property owed to the suspect. I'm John Baird, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Man from Costa Mesa has been charged with murdering his girlfriend during an argument, then throwing her body into a garbage can. Daniel Aldrich accused of strangling her to death and slitting her wrists after a night of drinking more than a week ago. Her body was found by landscapers hired to mow their lawn. He's facing a maximum of 26 years to life. He'll be arraigned in November. It's currently being held on $1 million bail. The recommendation is to close the bridge to replace the deck. Caltrans has released the final environmental impact report for the Vincent Thomas Bridge deck replacement project and also identified that the best construction staging option is to close the bridge entirely for the work. And the close is going to last about 16 months for crews to remove the current bridge deck and then install a new one. Caltrans says the plan allows for the shortest construction time, is the safest and most cost-efficient alternative. Construction is expected to start sometime late next year. Prosecutors have now filed formal charges against the man accused in the vicious beating of a valet and six other people in attacks all committed within 10 minutes of each other in West Hollywood last month. Investigators say Dorian Michael Gray attacked the valet in the parking lot of Barney's Beanery on Santa Monica Boulevard, leaving him in critical condition. And Gray has pleaded not guilty. Next hearing is in November. His bail has been set at over $3 million, and he is facing life in prison. Governor Newsom has announced a surge of CHP officers into the city of San Bernardino to tackle high crime. He says the operation is based on similar efforts already undertaken in Oakland, Bakersfield, and San Francisco.
We saw that the early surge in San Francisco produced demonstrable results. You've seen that in the data in terms of the crime numbers. Alameda, or specifically now Oakland as well, we saw not only anecdotal evidence, but we started to see the evidence of the first partnership there. There, and that allowed us to expand it.
The governor says crime stats show San Bernardino has three times the statewide murder rate and nearly double the rate of violent crime. CHP surge being welcomed by the mayor of San Bernardino, Helen Tran. She says the extra support will help build on work by the local police, who have already reduced crime by 13% so far this year. CHP will provide San Bernardino police with investigative support to disrupt violent street gangs, get illegal guns off the street, and help prevent gun violence. A former Fox News host says he will not be voting for Donald Trump. We'll go in-depth with Geraldo Rivera. That is coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Nonstop News at 5 presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.
Campaign 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Just 8 days to go until Election Day. More than 40 million Americans have already voted early. That includes millions of people in California. Joining us now live, top pollster Paul Mitchell of the company Political Data Incorporated, based in Sacramento. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So exactly how many people have already cast their ballots here in California?
Well, right now, as of the latest reports from the county registrars, we're at 4.26 million ballots have been received from those counties. And from that, we can discern how many Democrats, how many Republicans, age groups, ethnicity, and so on.
So California being a very blue state, one assumes that early voting is going to favor the Democrats, because I think the entire state vote would. But are the numbers showing us something different?
So overall, total number of ballots, there are more Democratic ballots, but Republicans are actually returning their ballots at a faster rate than Democrats. So Republicans are 25% of the registered voters, but they're 30% of the ballots that have been returned. It's really independents who are lagging in terms of their ballot returns. They're 29% of registered voters and only 21% of the ballots that have been returned.
And we have no indication which way they're breaking for Kamala or Donald Trump.
All we can do is look at polling that suggests that right now it would be around 60% for Kamala, around 37% for Trump, and then the rest for small minor parties.
Awful lot of people voted in 2020. Do you think we're going to see a huge voter turnout for 2024?
We'll see high voter turnout, but we were at 80% in 2020. But remember, we were all on COVID lockdown, especially in the urban cities. So for a lot of voters, those vote-by-mail ballots weren't sitting on the kitchen counter for a long time. We weren't distracted by kids' soccer games or other activities. It was really easier to vote with all those distractions gone because of the COVID lockdown. So we don't expect it to get to 80. We would say somewhere between 75 and 78% turnout is most likely.
All right. It's been driving people to distraction, people having anxiety attacks, because all the polls appear to show that the race is essentially tied between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. But there are some other experts out there who say that the results on Election Day won't be quite so close, but they're not saying whether it would be breaking for Trump or breaking for Harris. We don't know. But do you see anything, as an expert yourself, in the polling data that shows that we might be surprised one way or the other come Election Day?
Yeah, this is a little counterintuitive, but even though the race right now in all the polling and modeling looks to really be a 50-50 affair, the fact is that these polls and all this analysis is going to be a little bit off. Maybe it's 2 points favoring Trump. Maybe it's 2 points favoring Kamala Harris. Something will break. And there's a 60% likelihood, even in those models, that one or the other candidates is going to get 300 electoral votes and it'll be a very clear victory. So there's a largely likelihood that this race will be decided really decisively on election day or the days right thereafter, rather than us feeling like we're, you know, going 50-50 and waiting for the very last ballot to be counted.
All right. Thank you so much. Pollster Paul Mitchell of the company Political Data Incorporated, based in Sacramento. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Geraldo Rivera worked at Fox News for more than 20 years, but he has endorsed Kamala Harris. We're going to talk to him about why he's not supporting his friend, Donald Trump. TV personality Geraldo Rivera worked for Fox News for more than two decades, was a close friend of Donald Trump. That was then, but now he's backing Kamala Harris for president, calls Trump a danger to democracy. Charles Feldman and Mike Simpson talk with Geraldo on Countdown 2024.
Despite all of the issues with Donald Trump, if the polls are to be believed, you know, about half the registered voters who say they're going to vote still support him.
You know, Charles, that you pinpointed the tragedy. That's the heart of the scar that has been left by this divisive person. But there is no doubt that this country is torn asunder, that we are divided almost equally. And it's almost like never the twain shall meet. It's so sad to me. I live in Ohio now, in the Cleveland area, a little blue bubble in the northeastern part of Ohio. You go south from where I'm speaking to you right now, and it's Trump country. And it's almost like the neighbors don't talk to neighbors. So much of it is divided on race and class. And I don't know how you heal it. I hope that whoever wins this election or whoever loses this election, you know, goes, has the good grace. If Trump had just, after losing in 2020, Charles, if he had just said, you know, I was a close one and I almost beat Joe Biden and I deserve to win, you know, and I'm gonna go pick up the pieces and go after him next time in 2024, I would have supported Trump. I would have, despite the fact that he was becoming increasingly erratic in some of his racial remarks. But he's gone off the deep end, and he's willing to exacerbate the divisions in the country. It's almost like he's sticking a stick in the eye of his opponent. It's almost like he wants disorder. He wants intellectual turmoil at the very least. And to have a guy go up there, floating piece of garbage, and then telling watermelon jokes about a black guy in the audience, you know, where have we, you know, sunken so low that now that becomes how a president campaigns? You know, where's John Kennedy? Where's, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan? Where are all these, Jimmy Carter? Where are the statesmen? Where are the people, you know, who speak in terms of the grandeur of the country and the shining castle on the hill? And so now what do we get?
Well, let me ask you about Kamala Harris's speech, right? Because he's going to give her closing remarks soon on the ellipse right there with the Capitol as the background. And she's kind of changed over this campaign, short as it is, right? First, it was the joy and it was kind of a vibes campaign. Then it was democracy and the danger to it, reproductive rights. Now she's with Liz Cheney kind of giving a permission structure, almost saying to women, you know, you don't have to say who you're voting for. So what should her final message be?
A lot of it is that she's not Donald Trump, that she will restore the dignity, that she will restore the comedy. She will restore the fact that we used to think of ourselves as one nation, undivided under God and all that. I would give that message now. The attacks on Trump have been effective, but I think Trump lost the election in Madison Square Garden last night. I think that history will point to this as the October surprise.
Countdown 2024 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons and weeknights at 8 p.m. It's also available on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. That's your nonstop news at 5 for Monday, October 28th, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review.